This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. It's Friday, the 18th of March, 7:06 a.m. in the morning. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Wong Xiaoning and Tan Chun Li. As we always do at the start of the day, let's recap how global markets closed yesterday.
In U.S. market, Dow and S&P 500 was up 1.2%, Nasdaq up 1.3%, Asian markets, Nikkei up 3.5%, Hang Seng up 7%, Shanghai Composite up 1.4%, SDI up 1%, FBM, KLCI up 1.2%.
So market's still in the green, despite the tightening of interest rates by the Fed. Joining us online for some thoughts on what's moving markets forward is Carlos Casanova, senior economist at UBP. Carlos, good morning. After raising rates this week by 25 basis points, the U.S. Fed has hinted at more increases in meetings to come. The Hong Kong Monetary Authority became the first Asian central bank to push up rates in response. Do you see other central banks in the region also leaning towards doing the same? And what do you think? Would our Bank Negara be one of those banks?
Hi, good morning, and thanks for having me on the show. So we have seen the Fed hike rates as expected, 25 basis points as expected under this new, more cautious approach to tapering. And so Asian central banks are going to have to react. We saw the Hong Kong MA, which of course has a peg on the US dollar, and so they have to follow the Fed in terms of monetary policy, hiking rates. It is not true that they're the first ones in the region. We've seen a divergency all of last year and this year in terms of developed markets versus so-called emerging markets in the region, with DMs actually leading the tapering. In particular, the Bank of Korea has already hiked rates three times since starting its taper. And we saw Singapore adjust its monetary policy settings as well. So we are going to continue to see that. Emerging markets, on the other hand, would ideally remain on hold for as long as possible, just to support the economy through this reopening after COVID. But the prospect of rising commodity prices, rising inflation, and the fact that the Fed hinted that it was going to continue hiking rates in every single consecutive meeting this year, which means an additional, potentially up to an additional six interest rate hikes. That suggests that the emerging markets in Asia will unfortunately have to start hiking as well. And that also means that Bank Negara might have to consider an interest rate hike, perhaps sooner than expected.
So I'm going to put you on the spot, Carlos. When do you think Bank Negara will raise rates then, and by how much? Currently, OPR is 1.75%, and they haven't changed it in, 20 months?
Yes. So we don't expect it will be a momentous increase. So if there is an interest rate hike, it will be only 25 basis points. And my current stance is for this to take place around Q2. But of course, we do expect that it could happen a little bit later in the year, in Q3, depending on how the situation evolves. So I suspect it could be as soon as in the next quarter. But of course, the market consensus is pricing in a slightly later rate hike at Q3. So we are a bit different to consensus there. So that is also possible.
Beijing's promise to prop up equity markets was a welcome shot in the arm of ailing Chinese stocks, especially tech companies. So what concrete measures does this entail? And will it remove all the regulatory risks in the market?
It's definitely welcome in the sense that the you cannot explain the sorts of volatility that we saw in Chinese equities by anything else other than the fact that investor sentiment was extremely fragile. And so it does help to shore up investor sentiment. It shows that they are going to do more to stabilize both financial markets and the economy, because remember, the National People's Congress gave us an ambitious GDP growth target, but that didn't get followed up with any specifics in terms of policies or monetary policy by the PBOC. So the statement this week really gave a clear indication that they would follow up with some measures, both on the monetary and the policy front. The statement in and of itself is not really of much use unless they follow up with measures. So I would expect to see a little bit more volatility still going forwards until we see those measures coming through. That could happen as soon as next week if the PBOC decides to deliver a 10 basis point broad-based interest rate cut. But there is no guarantee. And currently, there is no strong consensus that they will do so next week. It could happen in April. And so do fasten your seatbelt because we might continue to see derating in Chinese markets until that happens.
Okay, staying on China, what we do know, of course, is that some key cities are facing lockdowns, Shenzhen, Shanghai. What kind of impact do you think this will have actually on oil prices? Because currently oil prices are a little bit up this morning, actually, Brent crude up close to 9% to $106. But have we hit a kind of a tighter range in terms of where oil prices are heading?
We may have. We were actually having this conversation earlier this week. So there was an expectation that oil prices might have some room to increase up to $150 per barrel, given that a lot of it is driven by supply shortages, and a lot of that is agreed upon by OPEC and other political factors, and the blockade on Russian oil. So certainly, it could still go both ways, but we are sort of seeing oil stabilizing around that range that you mentioned. So $110 to potentially $120 per barrel seems to be a level at which oil prices have become a little bit more stable. Of course, that is likely a combination of factors, some progress on the supply front, but also the fact that, with Omicron and uncertainties, we are seeing the demand side of the equation be a little bit more flimsy than perhaps people were anticipating. In terms of Omicron in China, well, they announced lockdown measures to Shenzhen and Shanghai and Jilin, and the areas combined account for approximately 23% of GDP. So it's quite significant. Something that maybe was overshadowed by the statement from the State Council this week is the fact that they also adjusted their COVID action plan. So a lot of economies in the region seem to have been doing that this week, and it's more flexible. And hopefully what that means is that they are prepared to accept higher cases, because the healthcare system would not get as saturated. So they would be able to cope with that. So that is a clear sign that they're going to be more flexible. Maybe the impact won't be as strong as expected. But give in mind that if we do see a significant outbreak, I mean, cases have gone down since the peak last week, but it might just be a matter of time. And when that happens, it will exert downside pressure on global demand for certain types of commodities like oil.
And let's stick to the topic of energy, Carlos. Asian countries who are oil importers make payments in the US dollar, which has been surging of late. Are we likely to see a devaluation of regional currencies across the board, or will we see some buck the trend?
We are going to continue to see devaluation on the currency front. I think it will be led by economies in Asia that are large net energy importers. So places like, currencies like the Japanese yen, the Filipino peso, the Korean won, the Indian rupee. On the other hand, the economies that are net energy exporters, Australia, Indonesia to some extent, Malaysia to some extent, because the ringgit really remains more range-bound. It hasn't depreciated as much as other Asian currencies, especially after the hike this week. Those currencies will be able to withstand pressures a little bit better, but do keep in mind that we are going to see 6 interest rate hikes by the Fed and rising inflation, and those conditions historically have translated as outflows from Asia. And so we will expect to see a little bit more of that in the months ahead.
Carlos, thanks as always for chatting this morning. That was Carlos Casanova, senior economist at UBP, giving us his take on some of the trends that we're seeing moving markets. One of my takeaways is his projection that Bank Negara Malaysia could raise interest rates in Q2 or Q3, he says, but that's kind of the target or the range that he's looking at for now.
Currently OPR, overnight policy rate, at 1.75%, lowest, I think, ever. And that rate hasn't been changed in more than 20 months. So I think he's not the only one on the street that thinks so. A lot of economists are expecting at least 25 bips hike this year. But I found the fact that Shanghai and Shenzhen account for 23% of Chinese GDP. Shocking data to me. I didn't realize that these two cities had such a prominent role in the Chinese economy.
And the fact that right now they're facing this COVID surge, you know, it does have serious implications for how the economy will grow moving forward, indeed. Something that we're going to keep watching absolutely. Maybe we can quickly look at a headline that we have in front of us, which is reports from FedEx. So FedEx Corporation posted third quarterly revenue of $23.6 billion, but profit was below Wall Street's estimation due to the surge of Omicron cases that has disrupted their networks and customer demand in January and February.
And this is also contributed by rising costs related to labor shortages, especially at its sortation hubs. And also fuel prices have been rising, although they are actually offsetting those with surcharge to customers.
Yeah, but this was a pandemic winner, right? Anything to related Absolutely. To do with logistics. So unsurprisingly, 26 buys on this name, 7 holds, only 1 sell. Consensus target price for this stock is $308. Current share price, I think this is, I'm not sure there was any activity after market hours, but it did close at $227. It was up $2, but with results like this below street, whether there might be some selling later on.
All right, we'll keep an eye on that. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.